Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin, as always.
Hello, that's like my new tag, Devin, as always.
Devin, as always.
Hashtag, find me at hashtag Devin, as always.
I like that. Start dropping that in. And here's Devin drinking a beer, not working while I'm working, as always. that's what you usually put in. Mm-hmm. All right, Devin. What amazing quote have you found for us this evening?
Do I have
this
one
evening?
For you? I've got a good one. Here we go. We don't need to be the only beer you drink. We just want to be the best beer you drink. One more time. We don't need to be the only beer you drink. We just want to be the best beer you drink.
I can dig it. I like that quote.
Isn't that the best slogan for a beer company ever?
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so good. You know, like, yeah, everyone wants to be, like, exclusive. Like, this is the best beer mm-hmm. ever. You don't need to drink mm-hmm. any other beer in the world. Like, no, that's not it. You can drink lots of beers. We want to be the best one you drink. You know, it's like, it's not that we want it to be the best one that you drink. It's we want to be the best beer that you drink. Right. So it's like, we don't have to be your favorite. We just want to be the best one. I like it.
Right. Yeah. Oh, and we're not saying like, oh, if you don't go with us, like they understand as beer fans that everyone, or at least people who are drinking, you know, IPAs and this, you're trying a lot of different things.
Yeah. Yep.
It's like being a fan of bread or something or baking.
Right. You're going to okay.
You might have one really great like, "Oh, I love a blueberry scone," but you that's not the only thing you eat. You can't just eat that every day.
Right. That's true.
Yeah. It's Goose Island. You know Goose Island.
Ah, yeah, I do like Goose Island. Yeah. All right. Nice. Yeah. Yeah. That's a great oh man, what a great slogan. Goose Island. Yeah.
And it's in big bold font today. I went to the liquor store. And I'd seen it before and I liked it before, but it was on the up at the place I go to, they had it on the window there. I was like, man, that's great. It's good, it's perfect. It's not pretentious, they're not saying only drink our beer. It's like, yeah, we want to be the best you drink.
Yeah, I like that. Stuff,
but you know, we're gonna try to be your favorite.
I like that. What's the company? There's another company that says like I think it might be Sierra Nevada. It's like family owned and argued over or something like that, which I thought was always kind of funny. Yeah, I forget what company that is, but I was like, that's a good one. You know, like, and then actually, what I have right here, and I'll give you a little. There you go. A little opening sound. Ooh. And that was opened with a modern forged bottle opener from Maker Camp last year.
Oh, nice.
So this is Fat Tire, and they have a little like earth on there, and it says 1991 brewed to protect the only planet with beer. I like that. This is pretty good. So it's like, you know, they're trying to make sure they're trying to be, you know, environmentally friendly as well, but it's like, we're brewing to protect the only planet that has beer. We're protecting our one. If we're gone, we got no more beer. That's pretty good.
Yeah, if you can have some message, you might as well make it a little funny.
Yeah, right, exactly. I think all these, like, all the microbrews and stuff, they do a good job. You know, it's all like bearded hipsters and stuff. So, you know, who are brewing. So, like, let's do something fun.
And they get drunk at night as they're doing up their business plan. So.
Yeah, right. That's good. I like this.
Meetings surrounded by cases of beer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, surprise, surprise. You got some funky like slogans and stuff, extra creative stuff. I do like the. I like that.
Hang on.
That quote.
One sec, Dust.
Go ahead.
I think there's a delay. Mm-hmm. Let me see. I'm going to give you a 3 and then 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, sorry. Do it again.
One. You're just like, oh, that was a good 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I like that. That was good.
Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Here.
Oh, man. We're like 2-3 seconds off.
Okay. All right. Let me, I'll restart. And I wrote down when we kind of stopped. So I'll restart and then we'll go from there.
We'll leave that opening and keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's good.
All right. We'll be right back, folks.
All right. Perfect. All right. Here we go. Okay. We're back in the magic of editing, the science and mystery of editing. It's like we've never left anywhere.
No one knows how it's done. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Here.
Here. All right. Good.
There you go. For everyone listening, that's how we make sure that we're not, and there's no echo. Yeah. There's no delay.
Speaking of science, that's our scientific method.
Yes.
Nice. Hey, I got a random thing. I know it's, I don't know what we're on, but.
Yeah, we were talking about the quote, but you know, talk about beer.
Oh, that's right. We switched to beer. Mm-hmm. Well, let's switch to paintings. Every episode, people know and some don't know that I'm always find like a background painting or it's usually a painting or a photo of a landscape. I prefer landscapes with towns in them somewhere, you know?
Yeah, something to look at, maybe something to explore.
Pure lands. Yeah, if it's pure mountains, then it's fine, but it's. You need to dig around for an hour. A lot of modern stuff. I guess it's digital. It's. Well, I'm going to ask you. So you have obviously modern. It's people still do every technique that was ever done. So I could say modern, but there's still painters that paint the way people painted 300 years ago for sure.
Right.
But there's a lot of those old paintings that are so detailed, and I guess a lot of them were probably on a huge wall. So you have these huge, beautiful landscapes. But then you have, like, a guy with his dog and a wagon way, way in the back.
Right, yeah.
And then the towns and all the grasses and everything are super detailed. A lot of modern stuff, even if it's, and I like I said, I think it's probably because it's digital. It's big, bold colors and paint strokes and things. Like, it's still beautiful as a thing. Like, you can make a great landscape of the town, but it seems not as in depth, and maybe that's because, like I said, the lack of people actually painting. It might just be digital stuff where they're filling in big chunks at a time. And some of the old ones that I'm looking at, I don't realize that they're a whole wall,
right? Yeah,
and every little brush stroke is a tiny little detail.
Yeah. So, what is your question? Like, why is it that way? Like, why do I think it's just an observation?
It's an observation. I just think there's a lack of detail.
Yeah. I agree. And I think it's because it's a different end goal, right? So the end goal of like a painting back then would have been to like impress and to, you know, show your skill and show your talent. And that was the style of the time, you know? So that's like big paintings like that, say maybe Hudson River School, right? So they're painting that kind of like Midwest or upper Adirondacks or like, the Grand Tetons with like Indians and, you know, and mountains. And, you know, that's like, it was the grandiosity, you know, like the, how big, how detailed, how elegant can you push it? And then, you know, at that time, because people weren't like, none of that, there was no photographs, right? So people couldn't see what was out in Yellowstone, you know? So there were like people who would paint all these crazy things. They'd bring them back to museums or somebody's house and they'd have like a big showing. They'd have like curtains in front of them. People would line up and sit like a theater and then they'd like unveil this like crazy, super detailed painting of all sorts of stuff, you know? So, I think in anything that was like the style of the time, you know, so the style of the time was being like grand and being, you know, super detailed. And that's just like was the painting of the style of the time. Then you have someone like, someone like Corot. So Gustave Corot, he was one of the, like in my mind, one of the fathers of modern painting because he was doing landscape painting, in plein air, so he's out like in the landscape painting it, and that's what he was the first person to really like start presenting that as the final piece. Before that, like, those giant paintings are all done from sketches and done from all sorts of different, you know, small paintings. You know, you go back to the studio and you paint it in the studio. So it was like a different experience, right? It's like, let's go out, let's experience the landscape. And this also kind of lines up with the same time of the advent of paint tubes. So you could actually get oil paint in tubes. So you could actually take them out in the landscape. You know, otherwise you might do a watercolor or you might do a charcoal drawing, you know, and then you come back and you just build from there, because you couldn't, there was no oil paint and tube. So you're mixing everything in the studio with pigment and oil, and you're grinding it all, you know, you're making your paints there. So it's a different mindset, like studio painting as to like plein air painting. Then that changed, right? Then you have all the impressionists who are going out and they're just responding directly to the light and the colors, and their landscape paintings are full of all sorts of crazy colors like pinks and purples and wild blues and greens, because they're seeing that in the shadows. You know, they're not just kind of like responding to a painting or something they did, and then they're like doing this in the studio. So, you know, so that's like, that was kind of the switch over from, you know, I would say older, more traditional into what was modern painting, that kind of impressionist time frame, you know, where it switched over. But now you get to a point where there are still people who will do like a super detailed paintings because it's something that they think is interesting or cool.
Right.
But it's more of like, that's almost like a novelty at this point, you know, because what people are trying to explore is more a conceptual work, right? So like you said, kind of everything's quote unquote been done in the world of fine art, as far as like, you know, taking analog art, like something real, and making something real out of it, as opposed to digital. Like digital, who knows, like it could go on forever and ever. We could always have crazy, all sorts of different artwork, you know, but yeah, I mean, also, I think, the advent of the photograph, right? You're able to, like, take a picture and then bring that back. You could, you know. And then there's also camera lucida, which is like a way you could look. You had this little, like, reflective glass thing that you looked through, and you could look down at your paper, and it basically, like, showed the image of what you were looking at on your paper. And then you could trace it, so they could, like, be super detailed that way. So you see some of those paintings that's, like, crazy amount of detail and stuff, and all the figures are perfect, like, so.
You see that, Penn and Teller, did you see their documentary on that painter that they thought may have used a reflective,
right, like camera obscura or something, right? I did not.
Yeah, but it was like, 200 years ago where they figured out with a type of lens or crystal, you know, you'd go into a dark room.
Yeah, that's the camera obscura. So you get that, like, the light comes through a pinhole and then opens up. Yeah, so there's a couple different, like, inventions in that time that they think were pretty more widely used than we know. You know what I mean? Right. So, yeah. So I think there were a lot of people using those things. Like now, you know, someone will digitally project something on their painting and paint over top of it, right? We have the ability to do it. Like, if the final image isn't about how it was created, it's about what you're creating, then you take whatever quickest way to get to the end, you know. For me, as a landscape painter, what I like is being out in the landscape and responding to the colors and like, and the shapes and stuff, and trying to build an image out of kind of some bolder shapes. Like, it's about that interaction, you know, the actually mixing of the paint and all that. So like, I like the texture of the paint. I like using a palette knife because it shows that interaction, right? It shows the experience of me out there and working with the paint and painting it. And like, they're usually smaller too, right? Cause that's something I can capture in a small amount of time in a plein air. You know, it's like, it's the process. I guess it's the same reason why, like, you know, why we make the videos, because we like showing the process, like bringing people along on the journey, you know. And so, like, a painting, they can only see the end of the journey. But, you know, when we have our videos, they can see the whole thing.
Right. It's called Tim's Vermeer.
So Vermeer, right, he's got the girl with the pearl earring, and, you know, and that's, right.
he's got those ultra detailed paintings that are beautiful.
Yep.
And I mean, and even if, you know what, even there's a few things that's been coming up recently. Like, okay, I thought of, okay, let me organize my thoughts here. it's like Quentin Tarantino ripping off and figuring out a way how to copy and use other people's things to make a great version of it, right?
Right, right.
So even if Vermeer did use tricks, his composition and lighting and everything right. was
that's so all him. Well, right.
so well crafted. Anyone right. could like, oh, hey, point this camera at a wall, and then we're gonna get a
yeah,
and then I want you to copy the image on a picture and. Right. Not many people would capture the things he captures in the way he did them. The same thing with, I'll talk about it in a minute, but we went and saw Jurassic Park in 3D last night.
Oh,
in
the movie theater. Sweet. Okay.
And I was thinking of a guy who I met right after college. He was a music major,
mm-hmm.
and he was poo-pooing on John Williams because he said that a lot of his themes that we all know and love are kind of lifted from other musics, right?
Right.
But you could say that about anybody, right?
Yeah, if right.
Yep. Everyone's got influences. So,
yeah, yep.
But the point is everyone can lift stuff and steal stuff or be influenced is a nice way to say it by things. But only a few people are successful at creating something good from that.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's true. I think
even if Vermeer used certain techniques that probably other people are using, it's still the paintings are still great, beautiful stuff.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. And I think, you know, as far as Vermeer goes, right, like you said, he's building the composition, he's building the scene, what's happening. You know, he's putting all that together, and then he's making the image, right? Whether or not he used a thing that projected what he was seeing on a piece of paper or not, he's still creating all of it, you know? Like it doesn't, yeah, right. maybe it takes away from what we think about his skill as a draftsman, right? Someone who can draw or, right, you know, right, capture what they right. see. Okay. Yeah, maybe, but he still had to paint it. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. it's not like he's not having, you know, a machine, you know, paint on all the underlayers for him first or something, you know, like he still had to right. do all the painting and, you know, and he had to come up with, even if he didn't, like he still came up with the idea and put it out there and it's like his finalized. I mean, that's, right. that's and a huge it's thing. Like I was going to say, that's a huge thing in more modern art, right? It's like, is it an idea or is it the final thing that belongs to the artist? Or not belongs to, but like, there are lots of art pieces now that are made that are just concept. That like a museum buys the idea, buys the concept from the artist, and then they create the piece in their museum. So there'll be like different types of, you know, interactive pieces or something. Like one that I'm thinking of specifically is at the Baltimore Museum of Art. They have a like a bead wall. So you like you walk around and there's one section where you're going through from two rooms and there's this like curtain, this bead curtain that's made out of these kind of transparent greeny blue gems. And you like walk through it and you can interact with it, you can play with it, and that's someone's art piece. But that piece specifically is. It's all over lots of different museums and they're there permanently. So it was like the idea of it and, you know, the concept was all designed by this artist and then the different museums, you know, bought the rights to it and then they buy the bead curtain, they hang it up, they install it where they want in their museum and then they credit the artist for like, that's their artwork. And then the artist specifically asked that when museums do that, they send a sample of the beads that they use back to the artist. So the artist has this like collection of these, you know, little snippets of everything, anywhere that this idea has gone over, wherever it is, however many museums has it. But that's like a whole different wild thing, you know, like what's that then? Is that the artist's artwork or is that the artist's idea? And what is the artwork? Is it the final piece or is it the idea that's leading the piece? You know, because anyone can buy a bead curtain and put it up anywhere. But if you do it in a certain way, I guess, and you want to, that's weird. Like, why couldn't an art museum just put up a bead wall that's similar to it and not have to like give him credit? Like, I don't know. It's crazy.
I guess
it goes a long way.
I guess if the it's the experience that like
right,
you know, it's not just a curtain. It's like what you do with it. So if everyone's
right.
Well, I don't know. It all depends. You know, well, that's why art's funny that way. Hang on, Dust. Let's do a
test again.
A 1, 2, 3. Yeah, ready? Here. 1, 2, 3.
Check.
1, 2, 3.
Hello.
Dang, we're delayed again. I thought we were.
I don't know what's going on with the delay.
Do you want to try one more time? Is it hard to stitch them all together? Or should we just...
No, it's fine. We could try one more time, see where it goes.
Okay, we'll keep all this. All right, guys, we'll be right back.
Okay, back again. Try number 3.
1, 2, 3.
Check.
Good. It's good for now.
It's good for now, right. Yeah, it may be folks listening. It may be my internet, maybe Devin's internet. We're working with what we're working on. Maybe it might end up that we end up coming back together and recording live after 142 episodes. probably 120 of those recording separately. So
yeah, I don't know the last time you and I sat. Like, well, no, it might have been at my house on that porch.
Oh, right. Yeah, we did do that. And we also...
With the boys.
Yeah, and going down to Blade Show, we recorded in the car.
Oh,
that was fun.
Right, right.
Yeah, cool. Well, yeah, so, yeah, we were talking about art. You gotta love art.
Art. Speaking of art, yeah, like I said, went and saw Jurassic Park last night. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It looked good in 3D. Like, the 3D was cool.
Hmm. Nice. I was gonna say. I was waiting for that reaction.
Yeah,
like, is that good or bad?
It was good. No, it was cool.
Nice.
I dug it, man. That movie is like, once it gets going. I mean, I love all the stuff before it, and the first few times you ever see it, that stuff is such a great build up.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You know, in my opinion, movies don't do. They don't give anyone time for a build-up because no one has, like, the attention span for a build-up. Like,
right. Yep.
This movie's supposed to be dinosaurs. There's one dinosaur for 40 minutes. Like, what the hell? But it's like, well, that's why it's so cool when you actually finally get to see them. You're, like, thinking and waiting, and it's building, 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 building the whole time.
Yeah.
And then you don't know how it's done, and then they teach you how it's done, and, like, all that stuff. People didn't know about that stuff before.
Right.
Now it's kind of, like, common knowledge because that's such a pop thing. Mm-hmm. In Jurassic Park, everyone knows, like, oh, you take DNA from an old, like, mosquito, that bit of thing, and fell in something.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's obviously how you would remake it. But all that was, like,
yeah,
really
that was
interesting.
Yeah, that definitely wasn't common knowledge when that movie came out. Yeah.
No.
That movie made it common knowledge.
Right. And that whole intro about it is like, they could have just been like, oh, it's a park, and then gotten right into it. And like, you didn't have to explain it, but that's like what makes it interesting. And the casting's perfect, and it's really funny throughout the whole thing. You know, like all the jokes are really good, and you love the whole cast.
Yep. Yeah.
There's no one you really, like, you don't have to add in people that are meant to, like, you have to hate.
Right.
Like, the lawyer in it's kind of, like, annoying, but he's kind of funny.
Yeah,
like,
right.
You kind of like him. Like, he's, like,
you
know, he he's a lawyer, and he says lawyer things, but then he's, you know, he's kind of interesting and funny, and, like, I mean, spoiler alert, he dies in, like, the greatest way.
Yeah, right. That's so good.
Where's,
and I love,
where's he going? When you gotta go.
Jeff Goldblum.
That's great.
When you gotta go. And then he's eating right off the toilet. Mm. Ooh, that's so good.
And the kids are so, right, they're funny and clever and, like, lovable.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
When it comes to them being terrified and their screams,
mm,
like when they're getting attacked in the, at the T-Rex paddock.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, I mean, their screams are, like, intense.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, there had to be some fear, too, because there's, like, this animatronic thing attacking them, or they're sinking in the car as the mud's coming in.
Oh,
they're,
man,
like,
yeah.
They're, you can tell they're, it's, like, this terrified and also, like, hurting scream. Like, you know, oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love, I was just thinking, like, as the movie builds in the beginning, you have different points along the way where you're meeting, John, what's his name? The main grandfather. Like,
hello, John. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You meet him, and, like, each time, like, after you've seen the movie, you know that he's so excited for them to see Jurassic Park.
Right,
like, he's like, oh, you're going to love it. Like, you can see it with his, like, smile and how he's like, oh, I just can't wait for you to see this thing that I've seen. It's like, you know, and then they see the dinosaurs, and he's like, yep. Like, you just, like, the buildup is great with him. He's like, oh, you're going to love this.
Yeah, he's so happy. And I guess really in the movie, and I read the book too, I guess he's kind of the bad guy, but also he's not, He just wants it to work out. He wants right. to show people something amazing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Of course, he's the one who like he did it. Right. He pushed past what, you know, evolution took away from us and what God took away, you know, and he brought it back, right? That's like, that's Jeff Goldblum's whole thing is like, you know, you're doing something that you shouldn't have done, you know, where yeah, science
so
going.
Fast yeah. to try to do something, figure out if you could do it, whether you should do it.
Yeah. What a great delivery.
you take it and you package it and throw it in a lunchbox and
drive faster.
Oh, man, what a great, yeah, it was just fun. And there was like, it was a small theater, but there was like 8 or 9 other people.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And everyone's like laughing together at the right parts. And like,
nice.
It's so good.
That's great. Where'd you guys go?
Towson.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, nice. The big comfy seats. And
Yeah, it was nice. It was cool.
Yeah, right on. That's awesome. Is that done now? Is it like the Jurassic Park done now?
I think
you say it was
night,
like the end of
last night, I think was the last day. You might double check it, but I think yesterday was the last one.
Yeah, man, they should have done it through the weekend, right? It's Labor Day weekend. Everybody's got an extra day.
Oh, that's true. Well, I guess they had to open up the screens for lesser films.
Yeah, I guess so. Lesser films. It incorporates almost all films since then.
Right, of course. Yeah. I think that's probably my favorite movie, just as far as pure enjoyment goes.
Right, yeah.
Everything I want to see in like an exciting, fun movie is in that.
Right. Yeah. 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 It's great. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, so many quotable lines, you know, like just one after another. Like you said, every character is lovable in the fact that you like, you love them. You know, Newman's character, of course, he's the bad guy, right? You know,
he's funny.
Like, yeah. Right. Exactly. He's a normal dude, but, you know, he obviously is trying to like make some money off of it. But yeah, greedy.
Even him, he wasn't trying to. I think who says it? I think the hunter dude. He's like, they shut down. He like they turned off the raptor cages. Even what's his name wasn't dumb enough to turn the raptor cages off.
Right,
like,
exactly.
When he was escaping in that rush because of the hurricane coming, he just turned off the gates that he needed to get out. He had no malice other than greed, and he wanted to make money.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he was not trying to hurt anybody else. He was trying to make some money.
I mean, he had some type of criminal you know, he was trying to steal stuff, but he didn't want anybody to get killed.
Right.
I think in the book, he also dies. And also in the book, I think John dies.
Ah, right. Yeah.
But I forget.
I did listen to the book. Because I remember like them going down a drainage like ditch thing on a boat type thing along the way at one point.
I think he hits a T-Rex with a bazooka.
Yeah, right, exactly. And I remember the T-Rex coming out of the, like, following him down the river and, like, trying to get to him each time and stuff. And they're, like, going, they went underneath of one of the electrical fences or something in the drainage ditch or something. I forget. Man, that was good. Yeah, what a good movie. What a good everything about that. So good. Yeah, it's just, like, funny parts, you know, like when they're climbing over the electric fence and he's like, one. Or no, when they like, he like fakes them, you know, it's, and like, and the girl's like, what's wrong with you? The boy's like, oh, that was great.
That was, you know, that was great.
That's so good. And then he like, he counts to three and he gets shocked off. And when he comes up out of being like, you know, stunned, he's like, one. He like counts down.
Yeah, no, he said, no, one, two, three. Yeah, I forget which one he says. Yeah.
He's like, yeah.
And you know,
like,
it's the cool thing.
Or
is,
one, two, yeah, three.
Everyone gets a little bit of their redemption. Like, the girl is funny and nice, but she's kind of a little bit of a stick in the mud, you know? She's a little bit of, like, a classic girl. Like, oh, no, what is that? Ew, like, I don't... And the boy's kind of like a classic boy.
Right, yep.
But in the end, the buildup that they do, as you watch through the film, he calls her a nerd. You're never outside. Like, you're always like, you're a nerd. And she's like, I'm a hacker. He's like, okay, you're a hacker nerd. Like, he's, like, making fun of her the whole time.
A hacker.
And then when it comes to the door, she gets her redemption, right?
Yep.
She turns, and which is a huge, big thing. Like, you're not even thinking about it. And then the audience should click when the filmmaker wants them to. And that shot, I mean, Spielberg uses it a lot, but that, like, push-in shot.
Yeah.
Like, she spins her head, and the camera pushes right up on her. Like, that movement is such, like, a... And then it turns and she's like, oh, I know this. And she's like looking at the computer.
Yeah, yeah.
As they're fighting to close the doors, you realize like, oh, this little girl, you don't need Newman. You need a hacker. And oh, it turns out we've been building to this. All of a sudden, now she's the hero. Now she's not like the dork. She's going to save the day.
Yeah, that's so good. And of course, you know, Jurassic Park basically invented one of the greatest dinosaurs of all time, the Velociraptor. You know, like that dinosaur is not a Velociraptor. Or as far as like, you know, what scientists say, the actual Velociraptor is a lot smaller, you know? Yeah. It's probably a combination of like what they think is like, maybe I think it was like a Deinonychus or something. There's a combination of things that it could be, but that's it. That's the coolest dinosaur of all time now, you know, after T-Rex, like,
right. You got to make it. I mean, that's the thing. You get all the experts to tell you what they think and what they think they know. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, we're going to make it, you know, 75% bigger. Because that's what I want. This is the monster I want in this thing.
Right. Yeah. It's on that level where it can walk. Yeah. Yeah. It can travel around inside the building, you know, all that. Yeah.
And we're delayed again. That's okay. Like what's the long neck? Is it Brachiosaurus or Brontosaurus?
Yeah, one of those two. Yeah, they're both same thing.
I mean, the perspective in that is off, because even in it, they say it's they can get up to 30 feet tall, but that those first shots when you see him, it's like gigantic. And maybe that's, like I said, a perspective thing where they're looking up.
They're like 100 feet. Yeah, tall, right. I mean? Yep. Mm-hmm.
But then, I mean, the T-Rex is perfect size. That scene still, awesome. That whole scene. I mean, I watched it last night. I was trying to critique. I wasn't trying to critique it, but I was trying to think, like, let me really look. This is, like, the biggest screen I've ever seen on. How does it look like, you know, on this screen? How does the CG hold up? And it's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole T-Rex, and, like, he's so good throughout the whole time. Like, because I watched it again recently sometime in the last year, and the T-Rex holds up the whole time. Like, the puppet... There are like a few times where the puppet definitely looks like a puppet, but it looks real, right? So that's like perfect. And but like he holds up the whole time. There were a couple points where the raptors are a little CG, you know, and I think that's just because they're interacting with a lot more stuff that we know, like running around inside of a building and, you know, doing stuff.
Right? Oh yeah.
Yeah, like when they're in the, you know, when they're like in the building and they're all looking and stuff. Like, there's a couple times I remember thinking like, oh, that's kind of like not bad, but like a few where I was like, oh, that's a little CG.
There's a warmth, in the way they shot it, and it's. I mean, you have the. I mean, even though 35mm is a, it's less. Well, it's around the same quality of 4K, but. The way they lit it back then was to soften things up a little bit. That was like a film look. So the soft look is their advantage because, you know, you don't see every little nook and cranny of the digital monster.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, I think that's definitely, like you said, that's definitely to their advantage. And it's so... The only reason why I remember thinking like that, I recognized it, was because I was kind of looking for it. You know, I was like, I wonder if this still holds up. And, to that point, like it was good all the way. And there were like a few little spots, or even like, I think there were maybe a few times where the transition between CG and then to puppet was a little bit funky, you know, or not funky, but it was just, you could tell like, oh, okay, well, that's definitely a puppet, you know, compared to the last thing I was just looking at, which was completely convincing that it was a real life, you know, Velociraptor in the room or whatever. But yeah. And one of the like best jump scares of all time is when they're climbing across through the ceiling and she falls down through the drop ceiling, and then they pull her back up, and the Velociraptor jumps up at you, right? Straight up to the camera. Oh, so good. That's so good.
And there's so many, buildups that don't hit on purpose, right? There's a lot of when he tells her to run, when these guys hunting the raptors, or he's not hunting them, he's like,
yeah,
you know, they're hunting us, and he's like, run, go now. like the way the camera is and how fast she's running, and like you expect her to get nailed at any time. Because you see that door, like everything, it's like a masterwork. You see where she has to go, and you understand the distance, and you understand the stakes, all that, like, instantly. So yeah. You're along the ride with her. That's why it's thrilling, because you're not confused about where she's going or why she's going. You know exactly why she is, exactly what she has to do.
Yeah.
And you know, we've set it up that these things are fast, and they hunt in packs. And, like, these are the most terrifying things. And then when she finally shuts the door, there's a bit of a breath. Obviously, that ends in the next minute.
Yeah, right.
Where her big climax and the fence, the way they set that up is, like...
Oh, so good.
It's just back to back. Like, thrills, like, exciting scenes.
Yeah.
So well done.
Let me ask you this. What do you think about the subsequent movies that came after Jurassic Park 1?
Well,
I mean, you know, because there's Jurassic Park 2 and 3, which came up pretty quickly after that. Not pretty quickly, well, within the, whatever, like 7 or 8 years after the first one came out. And then obviously now we have the much more modern ones.
Well, Jurassic Park by far is the best. 2 is the second best, just because Steven Spielberg still did it.
Yeah.
3 is a huge, it's a huge downhill. Like, I mean, in each movie, it was interesting because they opened up more and more and showed more dinosaurs and showed like bigger, broader things, which was interesting. But the reason Jurassic Park is such a great movie is the way that it's thrilling and funny. And scary and interesting all at the same time.
Right.
They kind of went, they moved in, you know, the whole movement is into spectacle instead of a thriller.
Right.
You know, it's like how much stuff can we put on screen? How many dinosaurs? Like, how big can it be? Like, and
right.
You know, that none of that really matters in a good movie, in my opinion. It's the same thing with, right, the constant thing with Marvel movies.
Right.
You can either have one building fall over at the end of a movie, or... you can crush a whole city and, like, have buildings falling all over. And it feels exactly the same.
Right,
the way they built it up. You're, like, numb to it after the 10th building falling down.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. You know. Yeah, and I think, like what you said, the other thing, too, is I think Jurassic Park 1 is, like you said, there's the build-up and there's the anticipation of what's happening, what's going to happen. Sure, you know, it's right. The first time we've seen this. Like, there's dinosaurs for the first time in real life on an island. We get there, we see them, and we have this experience. And the other movies are like, okay, the dinosaurs exist, so we're just playing off of that. So now it's just a dinosaur movie instead of a like, experience a brand new thing that's never happened before movie. Right. Yeah, so you lose that aspect of it. And I definitely agree. Like, I think so, too. I liked the second one. I thought it was fun. You know, they had some cool things, you know, brought some cool people back. And, and you know, I think the new ones are fun. But like you said, it's like spectacle, right? It's more like, what type of big dinosaurs can we do? What type of crazy things can we do? You know, like, can we ride a motorcycle alongside of raptors running in a pack, you know? Or like,
Yeah. And the thing... I guess maybe people forget is the first Jurassic Park mirrored the way people, like, them seeing dinosaurs for the first time was also the movie audience seeing CG creatures for the first time.
Yeah, right.
So that amazement, which I guess I kind of saw as a kid. You guys saw it at the drive-in. I saw it on a 19-inch television screen in our living room.
Right. Yeah,
but that had never been done.
Yeah,
like, the backstory is they had already shot or had already been, you know, animatronically with puppets making raptors and stuff, and they had been into full production for a year about how they were going to do it with stop motion, and then they had to convince Steven Spielberg, like, hey, we think we can do this CG creatures now, and so I mean. That was amazing. Like, all that stuff was, like, brand new for the audience, just like it was for the people in the story, which was awesome, which is another reason it made it so huge.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a good one. That's cool. Now I really want to just like watch the
Can I
movie
rec can
again.
I
Can your recommendation be a
can I
movie that came
recommend
out
Jurassic
30 years
Park?
ago?
Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park 1.
You haven't seen it. Jurassic
Spoiler alert, though. Yeah, maybe we should put that spoiler
Park.
alert episode. We
We
spoil
spoil.
Jurassic Park 1.
That should just be the title. We spoil Jurassic Park.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
For
People are like,
Jurassic
oh,
Park
no.
spoilers.
I like it. Yeah. So switching gears a little bit, we were talking a little bit last week about Maker Camp and what we're going to be doing. So, I'm just excited. I mean, I'm excited to like really get going. I need to start figuring out which lessons I'm going to be teaching and when, and do I like repeat stuff? Do I do like two of the same things on Friday, two same things on Friday, two Sun Saturday, two Sunday, or do I just do different
But
things each day?
you're not doing lessons as much as you're doing demonstrations, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I'll just be working and I'll be talking. Like I'll be going over what I'm doing and teaching about what I'm doing and why I'm doing it and then answering questions. So it's more of like a demo rather than like a lesson. Yeah. So.
You know what you could? What you could do is have a second, what is it called? Schnagel Blanca?
Not quite, but you know, that's close.
Blanca?
Schnitzel Bonk.
Schnitzel,
Schnit,
like
yeah,
pork
like
chop.
a, yeah, Schnitzel Bonk, Schnitzel Bonk.
It's
yep.
schnitzel?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
I like schnitzel.
Schnitzel Bonk. Schnitzel bunk. That's it. Yeah, so I could have a
you
have a
could
second right draw horse.
Right. And you
Yeah.
could like the people over the weekend could also make one.
Right.
Everyone kind of gets a hand at it, you know?
Right. Yeah, I
Like
could
if you
have
want to sit
something
down and
going.
try a technique.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Right. And then I could have like interactive. I could kind of be helping someone and like show them what they're doing, you know, teach side by side. If you have some people who want to come up and try it, you know, like have different people
Right,
try
try like see.
chasing a growth ring and, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah, so then there's a little bit of the technique, and you can have people working on that. And is Sean gonna go?
Yeah, Sean will be there this year as well. So he and I are gonna drive up together. I think he's gonna camp in his truck this time. So he'll be in the back of his truck and I'll be in a tent, which I'm happy to do. But yeah, and so he's got the experience of doing that as well, so he could definitely be there to help out if you know, you need an
So
extra hand or
he could fill in the holes of the second bow making.
He,
Like, all
yeah,
right,
he
everyone
could.
had a little practice on it, but I can like trim this one. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think my goal kind of is to have, like, I guess just showing the different parts, right? I don't think I have enough time to finish a bow. I can be working on different things, right? So I'm thinking like I'll work on chasing a growth ring because that's pretty important for Osage. And I can talk about, you know, how you prepare different types of wood for a bow, you know. So an Osage needs like the growth ring chased for the back. I could also talk about rawhide backing because we did that on the 100-pound bow. You know, and then like measuring out and shaping, cutting down. So I'm thinking I'll do some stuff with like, you know, hatchet and draw knife and shaping limbs and measuring out limbs. So I'll show like kind of, you know, shape doing tillering, right? So like kind of getting down to the main thing, drawing like that'll probably be one lesson. I might have a full stave that like I can mark everything out and then work down to that original stage. And then maybe work on like, doing you're right doing tillering, so I'll have my tillering tree, so I'll be kind of going back and forth, and then like maybe knocks and string making, right? So I can show how you would make a bowstring, so I'll bring my jig, but I could also do it full, right? So like show a Flemish twist, show how you make a bowstring, show how you do
So
the end
yeah,
loop, and you know.
one of your demonstrations is Bill. I think I put my two cents. I think maybe Saturday or Sunday, but you want the most people to see it. So which would be like a demonstration Saturday is you should have one. I know it's not much time now, but I think you should have a bow almost ready.
Right.
to where all you have to you finish the tillering demonstration is you finish tillering,
right?
Because you can still demonstrate on one that is 10 passes away. Like you think you almost have it, but this here can bend a little bit more, and this can bend. So the excitement, I think people should see the excitement of it being finished tillered,
right?
And then the string up, and then the shooting of it.
Right. You know? So have one that's ready to basically be finished and shot. So that's like the culmination of the. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good idea, or pretty close to being finished. Right. Yeah, like within.
You know.
Yeah, and I do have a bow. That I have been working on tillering, that still needs a little bit more. I started a while back and it's got like knocks and stuff in it, and I've just been working on a little bit. So that might be one that I could do that, or I could, you know, work another one up. Right. You know, it's like
where you could work for an hour on it,
right.
as 'cause you're teaching, like each one could be a, like each lesson could be a, or demonstration could be.
All right, well, we're back again. Third time's a charm, fourth time's a charm. I don't know how many times it is now. But, just finishing up that, you know, excited to be to Maker Camp, excited to try to do a bunch of different stuff and try to show a bunch of fun, you know, parts of the bow-making process. And then excited to shoot some bows. So if you're coming out and you have a long bow or a recurve, I don't mind if you bring it along and you can shoot it on the range for when I'm shooting there. I'm there to lead. I'm there to kind of keep the safety in there, and then you can shoot my bows, or if you want to bring your own bows, you can do that. Just no compound bows. So just recurves and long bows, traditional bows.
Self bows.
Yeah, self bows. Yeah, right. Of course. If you've made a self bow, please bring it. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it shoot. So.
Yep.
Cool. So, we're gonna try to wrap it up, I think, now, since it's the fourth time we're running in with some data issues. I'm hooked to another internet signal, so we'll see if that keeps us good until the end. It's always something. That's
always
all right.
Always something.
Cool.
Go ahead with your recommendation. I had something, now I can't remember it.
All right, so my recommendation this week is a show that I've been watching. So I got my new phone, which may be the cause of our issues. But the one thing it has done for me is that it got me a couple month free subscription to Apple TV. And so I've been watching C, which is the Jason Momoa, you know, post-apocalyptic, everybody's blind in the world show. And it's pretty good. Like, I like the idea. I like the way they move around the world, as, you know, predominantly everyone is blind. You know, I like that they're, you know, they move through the story, and the story of these, like, this different families, and these, there's this like kingdom where there's some royalty, and there's stuff with that. And then there's this like person who can see that is, you know, kind of the main kind of protagonist, I guess, or maybe antagonist. It's hard to tell exactly throughout the story. But then, like, Jason Momoa plays basically the father and the leader of this tribe, this like group of people who are all blind, but his wife, when she comes to their tribe, she's already pregnant. And so he takes her as his wife or whatever, like they become husband and wife, and has two kids, and the two kids are the children of the person who can see.
They have a really good sense of smell.
Oh yeah. But there's like, it's cool. There's different characters who have like, you know, heightened abilities. And then there's, you know, the main characters, and the way they do things is really cool. Like they can all use obviously like sign language, but within their hands, you know, so they don't have to talk. They'll do like some sign if they want to tell someone something without saying it out loud.
Does anyone trip at all?
Occasionally, but not really. Like, okay. I know. Yeah, they're pretty good, right? Obviously, it's a world where no one can see.
But still, so, they're hiking through woods. There's going to be some tripping. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they always like, a lot of them will have a stick right there, kind of walking with it in front of them. Yeah. So you kind of get that thing. And then there's also, they're like, you see them kind of shuffling, you know, they're always kind of crouching lower and moving along a little shuffle kind of thing. And their neighborhood is like in this like grid or whatever, their little village, and they have like ropes above them. So they kind of walk along and they can follow along where everything goes by the ropes that are strung up above them, which is kind of cool. So they do a good way of like, of working with it without making it weird, I guess, yeah. right? You yeah, know, because yeah. there's only so much they can do. Obviously, you're not going to have, like, yeah, there's definitely people who do something that seems very much, you know, like, well, how did they do that without being able to see? You know what I mean? But, right. but you got to imagine this is a whole world where everyone hasn't been able to see for generations, you know? Yeah. So the people who can see are considered witches.
Well, that doesn't make you better at walking through woods, just like someone who's been blind right. since birth.
Right. I guess so.
You're still not going to send them out on a hike on the Appalachian Trail.
Right, yeah.
They will trip and fall.
yeah.
That would be great. Just have one character no one likes. He just keeps falling. Like, oh, come on.
Steve just can't get the blind thing.
I'm sorry. I think you can see a little bit, Mike. I think you can see a little bit.
Somebody keeps putting sticks in my path.
You say you're totally blind, you can see shapes.
Yeah, but yeah, that's no, it's cool. There's some fun twists and turns, and it's just it's kind of it's entertaining, you know, which is fun. And it's got I love a good post-apocalyptic show, so it's got some of that stuff in it, you know. So
me too. Yeah. I wanted to watch it, but then at the same time, it was like all these like taking senses away. Like, what's the movie with John Krasinski?
Yeah, right. They can't. Can't hear.
You can't talk the whole time or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, like, the other movie, Bird Box, did it with, what's her name, where they, something else with where you couldn't speak it or something.
Right.
I was like, oh, now they're just, oh, let's take the vision away. But, no, that's cool. I'll check it out.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. You know, I mean, it's not great. It's not amazing, but it's an interesting story. I like it, and you know, it captured my attention to watch it. And I have until like the end of November to watch. It's like three seasons. So
since you have that, I think all the seasons of Long Way Around, Long Way Down, Long Way Up are on there.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah, I should definitely check that out. Yeah,
the Ewan McGregor documentaries about traveling, you know, every which way around the world are on there.
Yeah, those are sweet. Yeah. And, you know, and obviously, like, Ted Lasso is on Apple TV, and everyone talks about Ted Lasso, so I want to try to check that one out, too. I have a lot of hype on that one, so.
Nice.
Yeah, so check out. If you have Apple TV or if you don't, you know, eventually C will be on some other platform, so it's a cool one. I like it.
Cool. For me, the new Meat Eater season's out on YouTube. Oh. Which they tried to host it on their website, which was real bummer. But I understand, like, hey, let's get traffic to our website for, like, 6 months or a year.
Right, yep.
And then upload it to YouTube if no one wants to buy it, which I don't understand why Netflix wouldn't buy it, because I know it's one of their bigger shows. So, anyway, I don't know the business behind it, but they're releasing full episodes on YouTube again, which is awesome, because I wanted to watch it on their website, but there was no good way to stream it onto your TV.
Right.
So no, I don't want to watch your show on my phone. Sorry. Some people do. I don't want to.
Right. Yeah, right. You want the TV experience. Yeah.
Right. Full, I tried every which way I could think of, and I could not get it to work with, you know, either Roku or Fire Stick or Google Chrome. Like, oh my God, how many different ways do you have to do it?
Yeah.
But I tried. But anyway, so they got it up now. So good old Meat Eater.
Yeah, it's how long has it been up? Like a week or two?
No, they got a few episodes up. They just started putting them up, so I think there's like maybe two or three episodes up.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah, because I've been watching some of the episodes that have come up, but you know, there. I guess it's maybe not specifically Meat Eater, but maybe I thought it was. It was like, you know, different hunts and stuff with the different people from the. I don't know. Maybe they're still putting other content.
They've had some because they've done like. They've expanded on their channel where they'll be like hunts with this guy and hunts with this dude and different things. And but this is like Steven Ranella media. Oh. He's the main.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know, he owns the company. So his Meat Eater is just him. Everything else is off of. I mean, he also has those people on his show. And they're all buddies. But everything else is off of that. But
Yeah, definitely. The few, I think I've watched at least two of them. They're different, like, you know, elk hunts or whatever, things like that. But yeah, they were definitely not Steven. They're different people.
Yeah. He's back, so check it out.
Sweet. Right on. All right. Well, I think that'll have to do it for us tonight. It's 8.5 minutes in for this session number 4. So far, it seems pretty good. But like I said, I'm on a different hotspot. So who knows?
Good luck stitching them together.
Yeah, you know, it'll be all right. All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much. Make sure you head over. We have a new video coming out shortly on the Laser Pecker 3. I've had a few people who have reached out to me interested in what it is, and then also a few people now who have actually bought them on my recommendation. That has been, like, pretty good. Like, I haven't used it a super ton the amount, but, you know, I definitely am happy with it so far. So
hopefully they use our code.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see. So, yeah, right, exactly. So yeah, so you can check that out and subscribe and follow and, you know, let us know what you think over there. And then also head over to Instagram. You can find out some information there. I'll be posting some more information and shorts and reels and stuff over there as well as some information about Maker Camp coming up. So I think as I get closer, I'll probably post some information about what I'm doing in preparation to get people kind of excited. So you can follow us there. You can follow me at The Art of Craftsmanship and Devin at The Art of Camera Guy to see what's happening on that side of it. All right. I think we're good for tonight, Devin. Always a pleasure. Yeah. Everybody else, thank you guys so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.